You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:25pm with Darren Owen, Gary Capewell and John O'Connell in the studio. We've got three meetings to look forward to on the domestic front. It's Brighton and Carlisle on the flat. We've got jumping as well from Worcester, so plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
Very well, thank you, Mark. And nap's going okay, not brilliantly, but we've had the odd one. It's great to be back.
Good. Glad to have you back in the studio, John. We'll get a little bit of a line on your nap and next best for Monday very shortly. We're also going to have a look at the look back at the William Hill St. Ledger as well. It looked a pretty good renewal, and we'll get stuck into that in a moment or two. But a bit of sad news to start the podcast with, John. Just reading that Derby winning trainer Jeff Ragg has died.
Yes, that is sad news because, of course, among other things, he was closely associated with all the Oppenheimer horses. And, many people think he was, you know, a really tremendous trainer. And there's no question he was, a master man of his craft. And he's been retired for quite a while, but it's always sad to see great figures like that disappear.
It is. Condolences with family and those who knew Jeff Ragg. We'll take a look back at the William Hill St. Ledger now, John. A pretty good renewal. The top end of the market and the class horse in the field pretty much came to the fore. It was won by Capri. Crystal Ocean was the runner-up. Stradivarius back in third position. And if you had a bet here at William Hill, you'll get paid out with the fourth-placed horse as well, because we did go first four, and that was Rekindling in the William Hill St. Ledger. We'll start with the winner, John Capri. A second classic success for him, having already won the Irish Derby. A first William Hill St. Ledger for Ryan Moore. That completes the classics for him. And another classic victory for Aidan O'Brien and the Ballydoyle team. Class seemed to show as well. He seemed to have that touch of class over his rivals.
Yes, he did. And he won really well, Capri. There's no question about that. I think we might just say a word very quickly about the St. Ledger. Many people have been writing the St. Ledger off, but those people are really what I call professional pundits and people in the industry. From what I heard on the television on Saturday, there was a tremendous crowd and a tremendous buzz, and it was a great climax to the William Hill-sponsored festival. And, it's all very well, the experts saying, oh, well, the Ark dominates the whole of the autumn and all the really good horses go there. But the ordinary race-goer doesn't necessarily look at that. They look for a competitive race, an exciting contest, which is exactly what we had in the St. Ledger yesterday. And, yes, Capri was the class horse, and I thought he really showed class, because there was a potential class in the field with Crystal Ocean, and, you know, about a furlong and a half out, it looked as though Jim Crowley was going to seize Capri and go ahead inside the last furlong, but Ryan Moore and Capri were not for passing, and Capri stuck out his neck and, did really well. He is the winner, of course, of the Irish Derby. It's the first time, I think I'm right in saying, since 1970, Nijinsky won the Irish Derby and the St. Ledger. So it goes an awful long way back. So well done to Capri. The race was run at a pretty fast pace. There were no real excuses, and I thought Capri won really well. He is, I believe, still in the Ark.
Yes.
But I would have thought they might wait till next year for that. We wait and see, of course. Nevertheless, it was a really classy performance, and Ryan Moore was seen at his strongest. Good that Ryan Moore won the race, not just that he'd completed a full house of classics, but also because he got beaten on Mendelssohn earlier in the Champagne Stakes. And there are a lot of people certainly emailing into the studio every now and again, more Moore than every now and again, suggesting that Ryan Moore, you know, doesn't get on the correct horses for the Coolmore Yard. And so it's great to see him winning on Capri. I mentioned Crystal Ocean. I think ran very well indeed, and I should imagine Sir Michael Stark would be delighted with that. And also Stradivarius ran another very good race, stamina rather than speed. And we saw, I think, two classy horses, first and second in the St. Ledger, demonstrating that to win that you need not just stamina, but also a touch of class and speed. And both the first two really had that, and it was a fifth win in the St. Ledger for Aidan O'Brien.
Yes, Aidan O'Brien on the back of the race talking about possibly dropping Capri back in trip, thinking he'd be better at a mile and a half, talking possibly of going to the arc as well. He's a 16-1 chance for the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe here at William Hill. But as always, Aidan O'Brien says he'll talk to the lads and they'll decide.
Yeah. I think just two quickly other things to say about that. First of all, Capri and Cracksman. I mean, I was with Cracksman for the Irish Derby, and I thought it was a bit unlucky not to win. And the fact that Capri has now won the St. Ledger endorses the fact that Cracksman is a really good horse. And I suppose there was one disappointment in the race, and that was Defoe.
Yes.
Who, you know, was tipped up by a lot of people to maintain his really excellent sequence of wins, but was never really travelling for Edzini in the race at all.
No, I feel that the ground may have dried out a little bit too much for Defoe's better form was on a more testing surface. Aside from the William Hill St. Ledger, John, anything else stand out to you at Doncaster on Saturday?
Yes, I'm a great Martin Mead supporter, as I think you know. Many people will know. I thought Acclaim won the Park Stakes really well. And he had to overcome a certain amount of trouble. And Ushin Murphy had to switch in the closing stages. But once he got into a clear way, Acclaim quickened extremely impressively and stayed on strongly, won that race well, as indeed I thought he ought to have done. And he now goes to France for the Prix Forêt. And I would have thought he'd have a very good chance. And the other was, of course, in the Champagne Stakes. Very good ride by Domacher O'Brien, I thought. I don't know quite whether that's the correct pronunciation, but the younger O'Brien son, anyhow. I thought he rode Seahenge really well. And interestingly enough, Seahenge had been fifth last time out at Goodwood in the race won by Expert Eye, which many people consider as one of the best races of its variety in the season. And I thought Seahenge won very nicely.
Yes, Seahenge won there. You mentioned Acclaim going for the foray next. He's currently an 8-1 chance for the foray in the betting.
Well, I think it's a good bet, and particularly if it remains soft, which is very likely to do in France in the autumn. So, yeah, Acclaim is a decent horse.
Mm. So that's Saturday at Doncaster, and the final day of the William Hill St. Ledger Festival, culminating in the William Hill St. Ledger, and it's another classic success for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore with Capri home in front in the William Hill St. Ledger. Let's move on to Monday's action next, and we're going to get a couple of selections from John and Napa, the next best, if you like. And we start at Carlisle in their 145. This is an apprentice handicap over 5 furlongs. We couldn't do a race racing podcast with you, John, when Carlisle is on without talking about a Carlisle race. Why did you pick this one?
I picked this one because there are two really good apprentices in it. And they have got, in my view, outstanding future. One of them is Callum Rodriguez, who won, of course, the Ebor on Nakita for Ian Jardine. And the other is Jamie Gormley, who, by coincidence, is Ian Jardine's regular apprentice. And both of them have created really quite seriously good impressions over the past 3 months. And I think they've got a serious chance of fighting out the finish here. And it'll be interesting to see who comes out on top. Callum is on Desperado's Destiny for Michael Dodds. And actually, the form of that horse is not outstanding by any means, Mark. It was fourth on the Tapita surface at Newcastle last time out, and on the turf before that was last at Ayr. So Callum Rodriguez will have to be at his very best, I think, to win this contest on Michael Dodds' runner. But you never know, stable in form, and jockey definitely in form. Then we have Goin' No Doubt do that, which I'm not certain is the correct pronunciation. I had to commentate once or twice in the latter stages, or certainly pundit, and present at Musselburgh when this horse regularly appeared. He loves air. Likes Musselburgh, hasn't really shown anything at Carlisle, so no. I hope for the commentator's sake that he doesn't get too involved. John Wainwright's got a horse here called Nokomane Benz, who could take a hand, won a couple of times at Hamilton, or ran well at Hamilton, won once and second on the other occasion, disappointed at Musselburgh. But Hamilton and Carlisle, there is similar courses, so that one is by no means out of it. Now, Jamie Gormley rides Yes You in this contest, and in my view, this is the form horse of the race. Finished fifth behind Manatee Bay last time at Carlisle, but was beaten less than a length or thereabouts, and had a very difficult run inside the last furlong and a half. Everyone swept towards the stands rails on that occasion, and Yes You couldn't quite get there, had to be switched and just failed to get up, but had won well at Carlisle before that, and he clearly likes the course. He goes well on the heavy ground, as it will be at Carlisle, and of course Ian Jardine's table are in tremendous form, and Jamie Gormley gets £8 because of course he's riding for his retained stable. So I'm going to go for Yes You.
Yes You then, the selection for Lord Budden in the 145 at Carlisle. Then we move on to Worcester next for their 335 bit of jumps action to look forward to here, and this is a handicap chase over the extended 2 miles. We've got a field of seven set to go to post here, John, and it's quite an interesting race. You've got Adrastos, who arrives here in good form, chasing the hat-trick. You've got the likes of Definite Future, who was in good form before disappointing last time. Mad Jack Mitten has won a few decent races as well in the past. So, and I haven't even mentioned all of the field there, so it's quite a good race.
It is a good race. Worth 20 grand too, which is certainly good for Worcester on a Monday afternoon. And just nipping down the field from the top, basically, Definite Future's got top weight, represents Kerry Lee, won a couple of times, is a Worcester winner, but as you say, disappointed quite badly at Southall last time out, and I think has got plenty to do under top weight. We then have Dr. Richard Newland with quite an interesting runner in the race. Vosny Romani, with Sam Twiston Davis in the saddle, has been very consistent, but I think lacks a vital gear for a classy race of this kind. I think he'll be there or thereabouts, but I'd be slightly surprised if he wins. You mentioned Adrastos. And going, I think, for a three-timer, Jamie Snowden coming up from Lambourne to Worcester. And this horse likes to dominate. Now, the tactics could be quite important in this race, I think, Mark. Definite Future likes to be up there in front, but we've got two definite front runners. One of them is Adrastos, who likes to go bowl along in front. Did so last time out at Stratford. I didn't think it was a great race, incidentally. And the favourite, going for broke, the marginal favourite, departed very early in the contest. So Adrastos didn't have a great deal to do, but dominated the contest, bowled along in front, and was still there some 10 or 12 lengths clear at the line. It looked as though he was getting a little bit tired, I thought. And Worcester could be that long straight at Worcester, could test him a bit. Lord Ben is the other front runner, loves to go along there in front, and he ran quite well at Newton Abbott, just missed out on second place on the run in. But he is another horse who tends not to have a gear at the finish. I think there's a class horse in this race, and that is Mad Jack Mitten.
Yeah.
I really do. He is my nap selection. This is a very decent hurdler, or was a very decent hurdler, competing at a really quite high class events. Also, when turning to the major obstacles, was far from disgraced last campaign in a light campaign. Now, came out at Worcester at the meeting about a fortnight ago, and I thought he jumped really brilliantly. He never made a mistake. And he put his rivals to bed in the home straight, quickened away, and looked the class horse that, you know, I've always thought he could become. And Eddie Coleman was very complimentary about him after the race and said that he'd really done a great deal of schooling at home and he'd learnt to jump very fluently indeed. So I'd go nap on Mad Jack Mitten, and I will be disappointed if he doesn't win.
Mad Jack Mitten, then the nap selection for Lord Budden. You mentioned the class angle there. This is a horse that has run at the Cheltenham Festival and the Aintree Grand National Festival, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
So does have that touch of class in the past. So that's the nap selection for John. Then the next best, therefore, would be Yes You in the 145 at Carlisle. Thank you very much, John. Been a pleasure speaking to you once again. Are you heading to Carlisle tomorrow?
I think I probably will. Unfortunately, my brother's not too well, and we've got to go down to Kent, in fact, to cheer him up a bit. And that might be tomorrow afternoon. But okay. I hope to be at Carlisle, yes.
Well, good stuff, John. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Monday.
Thank you very much, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Lord John Budden then on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:25 p.m. Darren Owen, Gary Capewell and John O'Connell, the team in the studio for the three domestic meetings. It's action from Brighton, Carlisle and Worcester. There is a bit of action in Galway, so we might be able to squeeze some of that in, but do tune in for the action on Monday. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.